In her mind, there was a simple causal chain lying behind fundamental liberties, increased openness ensured accountability, which in turn maintained freedom. And now, a technological miracle, or accident, seemed to be delivering the most profound tool for open disclosure imaginable into the hands of private citizens. Jefferson and Franklin would probably have loved it, even if it would have meant the sacrifice of their own privacy. There was noise in her study, a muffled giggling. Heather, barefoot, crept to the half-open door. Mary and a friend were sitting at Heather's desk.
"Look at that jerk," Mary was saying. "His hand keeps slipping off the end."
Heather recognized the friend. Sasha, from the class above Mary's at high school, was known among the local parents' mafia as a bad influence. The air was thick with the smoke from a spleef, presumably one of Heather's own store. The Wormcam image was of a teenage boy. Heather recognized him, too, as one of the boys from school. Jack? Jacques? He was in his bedroom. His pants were around his ankles, and before a soft screen, with more enthusiasm than competence, he was masturbating. She said quietly,
"Congratulations. So you hacked your way through the nanny."
Both Mary and Sasha jumped, startled. Sasha waved futilely at the cloud of marijuana smoke. Mary turned back to the screen.
"Why not? You did."
"I did it for a valid reason."
"So it's all right for you, but not for me. You're such a hypocrite, Mom."
Sasha stood up.
I'm out of here."
"Yes, you are," Heather snapped after her retreating back.
"Mary, is this you? Spying on your neighbors like some sleazy voyeur?" "What else is there to do? Admit it, Mom. You're getting a little moist yourself."
"Get out of here."
Mary's laugh turned to a theatric sneer, and she walked out. Heather, shaken, sat before the screen and studied the boy. The soft screen he was staring at showed another Wormcam view. There was a girl in the image, naked, also masturbating, but smiling, mouthing words at the boy. Heather wondered how many more watchers this couple had. Maybe they hadn't thought of that. A Wormcam couldn't be tapped, but it was difficult to remember that the Wormcam meant global access for everybody. Anybody could be watching these kids at play. She was prepared to bet that in these first months, 99% of Wormcam use would be for this kind of crude voyeurism. Maybe it was like the sudden accessibility of porn made possible by the internet at home, without the need to enter some sleazy store. Everybody always wanted to be a voyeur anyhow, so the argument went, and now we can do it without risk of being caught. At least, that was how it felt. The truth was that anybody could be watching the watchers, too, just as anybody could have watched Mary and Sasha, two cute teenage girls getting pleasurably horny. And maybe there was even a community who might derive some pleasure from watching her, a dry-as-a-stick middle-aged woman gazing analytically at this foolish stuff. Maybe, some of the commentators said, it was the chance of voyeurism that was driving the early sales of this home Wormcam access, and even its technological development, just as porn providers had pushed the early development of internet facilities. Heather would have liked to believe her fellow humans were a little deeper than that, but maybe, once again, she was just being an idealist. And after all, not all the voyeurism was for titillation. Every day there were news lines about people who had, for one reason or another, spied on those close to them and discovered secrets and betrayals and creeping foulness, causing a rush of divorces, domestic violence, suicides, minor wars between friends, spouses, siblings, children, and their parents. A lot of crap to be worked out of a lot of relationships, she supposed, before everybody grew up a little and got used to the idea of glass wall openness. She noticed that the boy had a spectacular Cassini space probe image of Saturn's rings on his bedroom wall. Of course, he was ignoring it. He was much more interested in his dick. Heather remembered how her own mother, God, nearly 50 years back, would tell her of the kind of future she had grown up with in more expansive, optimistic years. By the year 2025, her mother used to say, nuclear-powered spacecraft would be plying between the colonized planets, bearing water and precious minerals mined from asteroids. Perhaps the first interstellar probe would already have been launched. and so on.